Okay, so I have loved Maybelline since I became aware of it when I was, probably 13, 14. I have used Maybelline for that long. And their new Lifter Plump lip gloss is absolutely insane. It is so fabulous. It gives me the perfect puffy pout. And one thing about me is I always have a lip on. Like I wake up in the morning, I brush my teeth, and I apply a lip. I'm just that girl. I'm sorry, I have to. And I'm obsessed with this new Lifter Plump. Okay. Here's why. There's a little heat in it, and it just makes your lips look so kissable, so perfect, so divine. I'm obsessed, quite frankly. Can you take the heat? Find your shade at Maybelline.com or a retailer near you. Amazon shoppers get 10% off Lifter Plump purchase with code 10PLUMP for a limited time.
Thankfully, C4 Energy has reinvented the energy drink game with C4 Smart Energy, the only energy drink clinically proven to provide enhanced mental focus. C4 Smart Energy is formulated with 200 milligrams of natural caffeine from green coffee beans, plus potassium, niacin, and vitamin B12 to support well-being and help you feel your best, all while promoting fat burn and boosting metabolism. So I have recently tried C4 Smart Energy, and let me tell you, it is giving me a boost. That caffeine is hitting because I have a very short attention span. I get distracted so easily, and I tried it, and I was like, yeah, this is a boost, all right. I love that. Look for Smart Energy every day in the beverage aisle at your local Target. Go grab a can and share on social media, tagging at C4 Energy and the It's Me Tinks podcast to show how Smart Energy helps you stay focused wherever you are. C4 Smart Energy, stay focused. To know me is to know that I am obsessed with spicy margaritas. Love tequila cocktails? Then check out the award-winning 21 Seeds infused tequila. It's a one-of-a-kind tequila infused with the juice of real fruit. 21 Seeds is smooth, not sweet. It smells fresh and bright and tastes incredible. Try 21 Seeds infused tequila. Learn more at 21seeds.com. Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York.
Hi guys, welcome back to It's Me Tanks. I am so excited for today's episode, and not only because I've had half a bottle of champagne, it's because Camilla is back, and I just love potting with her because she's so intelligent and smart, and those mean the same things. The champagne is showing, and I'm started silly, but we're going to talk about something really serious today, and I do just want to give a trigger warning to anybody who's going through a fertility journey right now. We are going to be talking all about fertility, egg freezing, and that kind of stuff, so if you're sensitive, just keep that in mind. Don't want anybody to get triggered by this content. Camilla, welcome back to the pod.
Hello, I'm so happy to be here.
So this is a very interesting time for us to be doing this fertility talk. We've been wanting to do it for a while. It's something that we've both been speaking about to each other for a while. We're both, in our 30s. We are both, not married. And, it's a huge topic on everyone's mind, egg freezing. Mm-hmm. And you started a journey recently.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a very interesting time for us to have this conversation because, I mean, selfishly for me, where I'm at, I've decided I am doing egg freezing. Today is actually my first day that I'm going to be doing that. So the timing of this is kind of crazy. I think it's something you've thought about and you're in a slightly different place with. So it's a very pertinent topic.
Yeah. I think we were speaking about it on the train. We're coming to you almost live from Soho Farmhouse in the English countryside. And I think my goal with this episode is to champion and highlight and celebrate different choices. Because I think, when we talk about scarcity mindset and we talk about all of these issues that women face, there are so many different choices. And the point is, women should have the right to choose with everything. That is the goal, right? That is the goal. But it's not just to have the choice. It's that no choice should be
looked down upon. So if you want to freeze your eggs, it should be available to every woman, in my opinion. If you want to have an abortion, it should be available safely to every woman, in my opinion. If you don't want to freeze your eggs, if you don't feel like having children, or if you're not sure, you shouldn't be looked down upon either. And so these are the things that I really want to dig into today, because we are too, you know, we really tend to see we do see eye to eye on things, but we're usually pretty in sync with things, but we've decided to go different directions. So also, before we get into this further, I want to say, like, we're both coming at this from a place of privilege because we can both afford to freeze our eggs. And I feel like right now there's this tone of discourse where it's just like, oh, just freeze your eggs. Are you going to freeze your eggs? Like, are you going to watch White Lotus on Sunday? Like, no, it's a massive financial undertaking. It is from a place of privilege that we're both even considering this. So I really, really want to make that point before we dig in further. I'm totally acknowledging that. I'm totally acknowledging what a privileged decision this is now. I don't think it should be, like, as I said, in an ideal world, I think it should be available to any woman so that it buys her more time and it's an insurance policy and she doesn't have to worry about it, whatever. But it's not. So acknowledging the place of privilege, can you talk a little bit about your decision to freeze your eggs and how you came to it?
Yeah. So first of all, I think the most important thing to me to underscore here is the, like, taking the, having the agency to make that decision and being really deliberate about that decision. Right. And I think that's something we all just should kind of keep top of mind is, like, you know, with everything that you said based on cost and all of that sort of thing, but, like, being very thoughtful about, you know, is this something that you want, whether that's freezing your eggs or having kids or whatever it is. So when it comes to my thought process and my decision, I looked at my life and at what I love about my life and what I want my life to look like long term, and where I have the ability to take control and where I don't have control, because both of those things are really, really important to kind of understand and accept. And I looked at all of that. And for me personally, and, like, you know, yeah, I'm not married. I don't have the person in mind today that I'm sure that I'm going to have kids with. But I know for me that kids is something that I would like to be a part of my journey at some point. You know, the other factor you have to think about is, like, is that a path that you would go alone or, you know, not? But for me, at least, this was the starting step of, like, I think that this is something that I likely will want at some point. And it might be that in a few years that happens for me naturally. Great, amazing. But, like, the insurance policy is really nice. Mm-hmm. And even if you end up using for a second kid or whatever mm-hmm. it is, mm-hmm. for me, having the luxury and the freedom to make that choice meant that I wanted to do that.
Yeah. And when did you start thinking about egg freezing? And when were you like, I'm for sure doing this?
Okay. So let me tell you, it has been a long journey for me because I have been terrified mm-hmm. of this process.
Yeah.
And one thing I will say is I thought I was doing the right thing by doing my research, asking all my friends who've done it, trying to understand the experience for everyone. And actually what I would say is everybody's experience is so different mm-hmm. that it kind of doesn't help that much to understand other people's experiences because it has absolutely nothing to do with what your experience will be on. So I've gone through waves of being really scared because my friends had horrible experiences to being totally reassured because it was so easy for them. Right. And at the end of the day, I just had to say, like, okay, I think, like, you know, I'm just going to pull the trigger for me. So I started thinking about this probably, well, actually, the first time I ever thought about it, I was like 25. Do I wish that I would have just maybe done it then? Probably. But mm-hmm. like, you know, we don't at that time. But since then, it's been in the back of my head. I started thinking about it seriously about a year and a half ago. I wanted to do it this time last year. And I frankly just didn't get my act together because I was a bit too scared. So then for this whole year, I've been thinking about it and planning out the timing and trying to find the right time of year to do it and the right provider and doing all my research. And so I have been mentally preparing for this for 18 months at this point, but, like, definitely very seriously in the last 6 months. And all of that has been sort of like playing chicken with myself to mm-hmm. see at what point I'm going to quit. Mm-hmm. But we're here today and I haven't quit yet. So that means something.
I'm really proud of you. We were just
having drinks and we were talking about agency, and that's something you brought up again. And I think one of the things that I respect most in adults, like as I do feel, unfortunately, I'm an adult at age 32, is like the agency to do what you want. And again, there's privilege that needs to be checked when there's this fertility conversation. But I think why I love the egg freezing option for those that can do it is because it does give you that insurance policy. And we talk so much on this podcast about there not being timelines. And I believe that in my fucking core. However, there is a biological clock.
Right.
There is. And it adds a lot of stress. I think all the time about if I didn't have a biological clock, I would be invincible. So then you might think, well, then Tinks, why don't you just freeze your eggs? And it's really interesting. And I'm really like, I'm going to be vulnerable with you guys. I went to the gynecologist like a couple months ago and she did some random test. I don't even know what it's called. That just shows how, you know, aware I am, whatever. And she said, you know, your egg reserves might be low. It's might be really hard to get pregnant naturally. If you want to freeze your eggs, like the time is now. And when she called me, I was like very upset. I was very upset because it was kind of like the slap in the face that I've been waiting for, kind of, I don't know. Like I didn't want to deal with it. And I don't want to qualify for this whole episode, but like, I know some of the things I'm saying aren't intelligent and they're not thought out and they're not fair. But like, for me, I haven't wanted to think about the fertility conversation because, to be frank, I'm resentful. Yeah. I am so fucking resentful of the biological clock. And again, that's not fair. And that's not a good use of emotion. And I feel like usually I'm so efficient with how I spend my time and energy and my thoughts. And I'm just fucking mad. I'm mad that I have to take time out to think about this. I'm mad that I have a biological clock. I'm mad that I have to limit my plans because I might have to deal with this other thing and I don't know if I want it yet. And it's confusing and it's upsetting. And people are just saying, oh, freeze your eggs. Like it's nothing. Like, oh, it's like going to the movies or something. Like, oh, grab a bag of M&Ms, freeze your eggs. It's a huge financial undertaking. It is a biological undertaking. It's a whole thing. And I guess I'm really resentful. And I'm just wondering if you've ever felt any resentment of that or like how you contend with that.
Not that you need me to validate you, but I can't relate more. Like this is everything that I've gone through. And I'm a person who my close friends know, you know, like my whole life, I have struggled with the concept of time and the fact that that's the one thing that is the resource that is finite. No matter how much money you have, you cannot buy more of it. And it's the one thing that you can't control. And when it comes to fertility and to being a woman, you know, this is something that we were talking about on the train, but it's a binary choice. Like to have kids or not have kids is a binary choice that cannot be undone. There is nothing else really that is at that same level. Even getting married, you can get divorced. Like there are things that can be undone.
Yeah.
Like, and so that I think is really, you have to sit there and take it really seriously. But also the fact that I'm busy, like I like my life. I have a great job that I enjoy. I have friends I love spending time with. I love traveling. The fact that I have to think about this and like try to make this decision now is really heavy and really stressful.
And it feels so unfair.
It feels very unfair. And like, it's, I kind of think that like, it's, you know, you and I have sat there in our own brains and faced this same decision. And we've chosen different paths of dealing with it.
Yeah.
But we've both like, we've gone through the same thought process.
Yeah. It's so true. It's so true. I think like for both of us, I know how much you like your life and I like my life too. And I'm proud of the lives that we've built and the lives that we lead. And we've spent time on this very podcast talking about how, you know, in our late 20s, early 30s, we feel this incredible amount of, agency and happiness and fulfillment. And it's like, and now you're telling me I need to go do this thing, have an insurance policy because I don't know what's going to happen. Like, again, lucky that we have the option, but just so fucking frustrating. It just, anyway, guys, to be very vulnerable again, when I was faced with this question, you know, my gynecologist is telling me like, you got to do it now. I felt so upset at the prospect of freezing my eggs. And I felt so resentful. And I kind of thought to myself, you guys know I'm a little woo-woo. I was like, if I go into this resenting the process, resenting the whole thing,
it's probably not going to go well. Like, I really do believe in like the power of thought. And like, if I'm thinking to myself, fuck this shit, I hate this, I can't believe I have to do this, my body's going to hear me and be like, well, what the fuck? Like, I'm not going to, you know, whatever. And like, I have other health issues. I've struggled with PCOS. I have Hashimoto's. I want to do anything else but freeze my eggs. Like, I literally want to go shovel manure more than I want to freeze my eggs. And that's just where I'm at. And maybe that's reflective of me not being sure that I want kids. I'm not ready for a child. And I am a very like, do what's in front of me person.
I think that's the good thing about this process is it does make you really think very seriously. It makes you stack rank the priorities in your life,
yes,
you know, which yes. I think is a really important exercise to go through, like just in general. But for me, I also knew that there was never going to be a convenient time. Like right now, London is super fun. It's always fun around Christmas. I think it is in a lot of cities. You know, there was never going to be a great time to do this. But for me, when I looked at it on the face of things, and actually, you know, I'm not ready for a kid right now either. That's part of the reason that I'm doing this. So when I stacked ranked things, I was like, actually, this is something that I'm going to make the time for and that I am going to deal with the discomfort of and everything that else that comes along with it, because I personally, for my own sanity, think that I'll be grateful like that I did it down the line, whether or not I end up using those eggs. And I think it just really highlights that you can use your time however you want. You know?
Yeah. And I worry, I mean, I'm pretty decisive. Like I went down the thought tree and I was like, well, Tinks, what if you wake up and you're 37 and you really want a baby? And God, I'm trying to be more mysterious, but like, I guess with my job and my personality, I never will be. So I just, I guess I'll like lay it all on the table. I really never used to consider it. I never really thought about adoption, but I think I thought long and hard about it. And I thought, if I try to have a baby when I'm whatever age and I can't, I will adopt happily. And that's something that I really feel has changed for me over the past couple of years. And I'm excited by that prospect and I'm very interested in it. And I would feel very excited to do that.
So this is my core thing that I would hope that every woman out there does, is go down the decision tree. Yes. Like you said, it's not just, do I have the right time? Like, do I have 2 weeks right now to do this?
Yeah.
It's more about, okay, how am I going to feel at 37, 38? Mm-hmm. How am I going to feel when all my friends are 45 and they're on school run and, mm-hmm. Or like planning their lives around school holidays? How am I going to feel, you know, when I'm sick, like who's going to take care of me, like thinking about all of those things and just going down that whole decision tree, because life is long. And I think that that is a key problem with how we make decisions in our late 20s and early 30s, is we feel that everything's so immediate
100%.
When actually we're making these decisions that are going to shape the rest of our lives.
Totally.
And you have to put those decisions in the context of the rest of your life.
Yeah, I know. And I worry that I'm just such a sensitive Sally, because I don't like medical things. It makes me very anxious. I don't like needles. I really don't like shots. Like, I really can barely get like a flu shot. Like, it makes me nauseous to think about. Like, and I think I'm just a sensitive person in general. And it's like I mentioned before, the resentment of having to do it when men don't. Like, I have a lot of anger towards men about that and stuff. I worry that I've made this decision partially because I don't want the discomfort. Mm-hmm. Because if you said to me, if I paid double the money and I could snap my fingers and have my eggs on ice, would I do it? Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. So I wonder to myself, and I worry how much of my decision was based on the pure discomfort. And also, like you said, it's so vastly different for every woman. And I have friends who are like, it was awful. I gained 25 pounds. I felt sick for weeks. It threw me off. And I have friends who were like, I literally didn't feel anything. And to add to the discomfort point, I am really sensitive. And to me, I've always had so many problems with my hormones and with my health that like to add this to the mix, like to add those hormones and everything, I'm like, I I'm scared for my body. Like, I'm scared of all that. Like, it's just so complicated. And I just...
I mean, but that to me is so 1000% valid. And it goes back to the point that you were making at the top of the headspace that you're in going into these things really makes a big difference. And like, maybe this sounds kind of woo-woo from me, but I am in a really good place with my body right now. And I...
No, I think this is important. Say more.
I believe that we can do this. And when I say me, I mean like we, I mean me and my own body. Like, I believe that we're capable of this. And like, I'm like going to cry. Like,
no, I have tears in my eyes. Like that's
I know it's going to be hard. And I know, I'm mentally preparing for the worst because, you know, it's better to be prepared for the worst and then be pleasantly surprised. But I just believe that this is what is right for me and my body. And I believe that we're capable of this. And I think that going in with that perspective is what's going to make it okay for me. And going in with another perspective of feeling scared or sensitive or fearful or any of those things, I really do think can impact the outcome. And so you shouldn't do anything that you feel in your gut is not right for you.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. And you said that before when we were talking about your body and you just being ready. And I think it's like so beautiful. And I'm so proud of you for just like doing this with gusto and like giving it your all, like you do everything. And I'm so happy that you have this option and you're doing this, and it will like completely, I know for you, it will relieve all your anxiety and it will be the insurance policy you need. And it will just be amazing. And you're ready. You're in such a good place.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, that's the other thing for me. And like, this is, this speaks to like the root of my anxiety, which is the passage of time. But like, I've seen what it's done for other friends of mine, that it's just completely alleviated, you know, any sense of a timeline, any sense of that kind of, you know, window closing or whatever it is. And I want that for myself because it's the only missing piece in my life. Like, I'm really happy with everything else, you know, and it's like, if I can straighten this thing out, then that's great. But that's my choice and my assessment of the situation. And that does not map directly to anyone else's situation, which is why it's so cool that we're able to have this conversation having made different decisions.
Yeah.
So I have a trip planned to Palm Desert coming up, and I booked an Airbnb because I wanted to be with all of my friends. This house we booked has a beautiful pool, so you guys know I will be catching some rays and doing a little bit of tanning. I know a few friends who have houses, and when they're away, whether it's on a trip or they're traveling for work, they just Airbnb their houses. So they're like actively making money while they're away, which is kind of the dream, right? Like passively making extra money. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. There are so many books out there, it can be hard to choose one. But becoming a Book of the Month member makes it easy to decide which book to read next. Members get books delivered right to their door, and shipping is always free. There's even an app to pick your book and track your reading progress, and there are audiobooks too. So I'm obsessed with this, you guys, because I feel like sometimes I get decision paralysis on what to read next, and the fact that Book of the Month Club, they decide for you, they pick the best because they do all that reading is just fantastic. I love to be in the reading community, and Book of the Month is an incredible way to really get engaged with your reading. Maybe you want to pick it back up for summer. It's so important to always have a book when you're going on your summer trips, reading by the pool, or just reading before bed, which is, as you know, my favorite thing to do. Right now, you can get your first Book of the Month for just $5 with code PETALS by visiting bookofthemonth.com. That's bookofthemonth.com and use code PETALS. Way's new anti-frizz cream provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours, plus heat production up to 450 degrees. Okay, so I actually tried Way's new anti-frizz cream on live with my community, which is kind of risky, right, to try a new product on live. I put it on my hair, which, as you guys know, is level 9 million frizzy. And by the time I had got done finishing my glam, because I was doing glam on live, my hair was dry, and I was shook
to my core at how smooth my hair looked, especially that frizzy top part, you know, in your part, all those little baby hairs coming through, that frizzy part, that was smooth. So shout out Way for consistently delivering products that actually work and do what they say they're going to do on the bottle. Frizz free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code MeatTinks for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code MeatTinks.
I do worry, and this is more something that's just coming out through discussing. So you guys, it's important to discuss with your close friends who you feel really safe with. And what I really want to point out is it's okay to have completely different stances on things and support each other through those stances. But now I'm kind of like just thinking it out, like two things. First of all, every single woman who's older than me who I've sat with at an influencer dinner or whatever is like, freeze your eggs, do it. The second point, which is like, again, wow, I'm going to have a vulnerability hangover, but like, I worry that a little bit of this decision, or maybe a lot, is through, it's, I don't want to cut off my nose to spite my face. And I feel so fucking resentful that my life rocks.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to change a goddamn thing. And yet I have to do this. Like, I don't want to cut off my nose to spite my face. And like, I've talked through it endlessly in therapy. I've talked to my friends and my family. And like, I came to this decision, but I do have that little voice in the back of my mind where I'm like, are you just doing this because you feel like it's unfair?
I mean, it is unfair. Mm-hmm. Like that, can we just call a spade a spade? Like, for all we do to level the playing field and for all we do to try to make sure that, you know, we have equal access and equal rights as women, at the end of the day, our bodies work differently and men can't carry babies. And in most places, they aren't offered any paternal leave, you know, let alone equal paternal leave. So these are things that we have to think about and contend with. And I hope that it's different in our lifetime, but this is what we face right now. And for me, I decided to just try to look at things through my own lens of me and my life with the knowledge that like whatever stand I take probably isn't going to change this big picture for right now.
Yeah.
And I like it's an abdication of power in some ways, which makes me sad. But at the same time, it's a reclaiming of power in that I am usurping that timeline.
Yeah. Yeah. I think also just right now with the US being so fucked up and, you know, women in certain states not having access to healthy or safe, rather, abortions, not even having rights to their own bodies, all the shootings, it just feels chaotic. And that's affecting me too. I would be lying. I mean, I know it's affecting absolutely fucking everybody and, you know, certain groups of people more than others, the LGBTQ plus community, especially in the wake of the shooting, you know, women of color, like it feels so chaotic right now.
Okay. So let me tell you something I think about, which is that you're 100% right. And that is something that makes me feel really, really powerless.
Yeah.
And it's really sad to think about in a lot of ways, because I hope that we see change in our lifetimes, but I also think that it's on each of us in like to do what we can to affect change in small ways. Right. And totally. So for me, like normalizing this conversation and like talking about it with my close friends and talking about it with my extended circle or whatever, I don't want it to be shady. I don't want it to be something that's like happening behind closed doors. Like I want women within the parameters of today, of like this moment, I want us to have as much agency as we can. And that's, I guess, like that's my way of trying to help within the parameters of what the cards I've been dealt.
I love that. And I think it's so true. And that's why I'm really trying to be honest about my misgivings about the whole thing and like about all of the reasons why I've chosen not to do it, including, you know, being sensitive about my hormones and my body and being resentful. And like, I think that's a really like embarrassing thing to admit to you guys, honestly. Like out of everything that I've ever said on this podcast or in public, I think that's probably one of the dark and twistiest things that I've ever admitted to, which is that I may be making this choice in part out of resentment, which is so not my personality and so like the opposite of what I would ever advise you guys to do on any situation. Like, but I'm just, it's complicated. It's so complicated. And it bothers me how every women's issue today is just like swept off as like a black or white thing. Like, oh, well, like this or that, you know, get an abortion or don't, or like you can or you can't, or like freeze your eggs or don't. Like, it's fucking complicated to be a woman in this world. It is fucking difficult. Every day is a new thing that we have to contend with, and we have to think about the future and plan in a way that men never will. And I'm really sorry to be woo-woo and like take it here, but like the reason that I want to give you guys dating advice and like life advice that's all related to self-worth is because if I can ameliorate some of that, or alleviate rather some of that stress, I want to give you back mindshare, because we have so much bigger fish to fry than if fucking Chris from Hinge is messaging you back. And I hope you see the connection in the grand scheme of things.
I mean, nail on the head. Like, that's 100% it. And I just think, you know, this conversation and like this topic that I hope every woman out there like thinks about for herself, that's shit that matters. Like,
totally.
That's something you should be spending mind share on. Let's not waste time on like stupid details of like little things going on in our lives. And I think like, I don't want to trivialize anyone's struggles, because I know things are, you know, a different size, big deal to different people. But at the end of the day, like, what you're doing is trying to help people get perspective.
Yeah. So if you started seeing someone more seriously, would you tell them that you were freezing your eggs? Like a guy?
Yeah, it's a great question. Yeah. I mean, I mean, it depends on the relationship and how far into it we are. But to me, because like, I feel a little bit defiant about this and that like I refuse to be ashamed to talk about it.
No, you shouldn't.
Like,
yeah.
And like, not even just ashamed, but I refuse to feel that this is like super personal, whatever. It obviously is personal, but I want it to be something that people respect and people are having more of a conversation about. And so for me, you know, I think I would, if it's the right guy in the right moment, I think I would share that, because their reaction would tell me a lot. So, totally. You know, when you're in the early stages of someone and you're starting to build trust, like that's how you build trust, is by being vulnerable. And this is my thing right now. This is my vulnerable thing right now.
I totally agree. And it's like even when I started being a creator, influencer, whatever, I would have never spoken about periods. And then as I, you know, the past 3 years have been this seismic shift in the Western world, and there's so much, the tectonic plates of social change are moving. And now I talk about it all the time, because I'm like, I refuse to let men dictate what is comfortable and not comfortable to talk about. And I see Gen Z, and I have gripes with them for sure. But one of the things that I love about them is that they are so open about it. They're like, of course we're going to talk about periods. It's a bodily function. It's like peeing, or it's like sweating, or whatever. It is a bodily function. It is how we reproduce. And that's why now I talk about them. And that's why I want to talk about this.
Yeah.
The thing is, I don't like periods. I don't think that many men understand fertility or understand egg freezing at all. Like, I think that they don't. Like, I told my boyfriend, I was like, I'm not going to freeze my eggs. And he was like, why would you? You know, and I'm like, because I'm 32. Like, this is a major, like, I'm old for having a kid now, believe it or not.
Well, and it's well, like, we have time.
No, we have time. But like, he had no, it was like, huh? And it's like, unless a man is in a committed partnership where they've made the decision to start trying, they have no concept of what it takes to get pregnant, fertility issues, the whole IVF thing. Like, they don't have any concept of it,
right,
as per usual,
right,
unless it's a direct issue that affects them. They have no idea. And that's why I think it's like, I want to fucking talk about it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that that's a super key point too. And the other thing is, we actually aren't taught to have that much knowledge of our own fertility. You know, it's like, kind of something I wish I would have done earlier was just like have a sense of where I'm at. And like, you don't have to go through, it's not a very arduous process getting your fertility checked, but it's like when we go for health checkups, you know, go to the GP or whatever it is, like this is, it's like kept behind a curtain, female fertility. And like, it's for women as well as for men. I mean, less so for women, I guess a little bit, but I think it's something that we should know more about in our own bodies. And then when it comes to dating and men and all of that stuff, like we need to make them face it the same way that we have with periods.
We do. I really agree with you. And that's, my stance on that has changed so much. Like I really, really want to smack them in the face with it. Now I'm like, I'll talk about my period all day long. I'm like, you have to, they have to fucking deal with it.
Yeah.
If they want the population to keep going, that's how you have babies. So talk, like if you're uncomfortable, get fucked, loser.
This is just like a permanent question that I have, which is why don't men? That's the end of the question.
Why don't men? That's the question.
No, my question is, why don't men care about these things? Because at the end of the day, like it takes two to tango, and whether that's,
it doesn't
like
affect them.
I know, but it does. Like when it comes to, you know, having kids with the person that you love and care about, like, you know, if that was you and your boyfriend or whatever, it's like, that's something that you have to think about. Your fertility is a big piece of that. But I think about it also, this is slightly tangential, but I think about this also when it comes to like, I don't know, using protection. Yep. It's like not the thing that the man is ever like asking about when your lost STD check is or things like that. And it just really baffles me that they just don't seem to know or care anything like about any of this stuff.
About any of it. They really don't, like how a cycle works, what days you can get pregnant, like all that stuff. And I genuinely would trace it back to the difference in biological clock, because fundamentally they have no biological clock. Therefore it follows, one might hypothesize, they're not predispositioned to think ahead in right. The same way that women are. It's just different for women. We have the biological clock from the second we're born. Our bodies change. We start our periods. We go through puberty. We go through menopause. Once we have children, it's a completely different situation for us than it is for men. And it's just different.
Yeah. 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 I think for people that have partners out there and, you know, whatever stage of the relationship that you are in, I think it is a little bit on all of us to try to normalize these conversations, to try to like make it something that, you know, men are a little bit more educated on, because the women in their lives care about it. They should care about it, you know? And it sucks that, again, that this falls to us, that this is like another thing that we have to champion and like be the guardians of. But to me, like that's kind of part of where we're at right now. It's like, we should try to advance the conversation somehow.
Yeah. And talk about it with your friends, you guys. Have open conversations. Don't be afraid to say, I don't know if I want children, or I'm afraid to freeze my eggs because I'm afraid to gain weight. None of your thoughts are bad and none of them are invalid. Okay.
Yeah.
And your friends should be a safe space for you to say those things and talk them out. Okay. I'm serious. Like, I beg of you, go have these conversations no matter what age you are. They're so important. And your friends, your girlfriends are like your greatest asset during this time.
So true. I mean, it's the sounding board piece. And, you know, I hope that everybody has people that they can rely on for that conversation, and we can all help each other in that way.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. And thank you for being so vulnerable and honest about your journey. And I'm very proud of you. And I'm proud to be here on this first day of your journey.
Big day. Tinks is going to help me do my shot later.
I'm going to help her do it. Well, I'm not going to look because I'm afraid of shots, but I will be holding your hand.
This Mother's Day, spoil the moms in your life with little luxuries from Osea. I am obsessed with Osea because it is clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate neutral certified. And I just know I can feel very safe using everything. My mom loves it too. I always gift her Osea because I know she's obsessed with it. She is a big fan of the body oil. She just loves how soft it makes her skin feel. It is the best. The Undaria Algae Body Oil is seriously one of a kind. Like I said, that's my mom's favorite. It's rich yet never greasy, and it's clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity. It leaves skin silky, soft, and unbelievably glowing.
glowing. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code TINKS at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to OseaMalibu.com and use code TINKS for 10% off.
Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Human nature can get a little messy, but nature is powerful enough to save us from ourselves. Seventh Generation Laundry Detergent lifts away tough stains with a 97% bio-based formula. For when you think whipping up yellow curry chicken in white pants is a great idea, totally not speaking from experience. Let nature do its thing, so you can feel confident doing yours. That's the power of Seventh Generation. Find Seventh Generation Laundry Detergent in fresh lavender and other scents at SeventhGeneration.com.
Okay, so birth control. I don't want to qualify this entire episode, so I'm going to get all of the things out of the way, and then I'm never going to say them again in this episode. And you guys are smart. We can all do this. I am not a doctor. I don't have any medical training. My body is not your body. What's right for me is not right for you. Our doctors won't think the same. I am simply telling you this to inspire you. And it was actually listening to podcasts that helped me become empowered about my body, because I had no idea how my body worked until basically like 29 and beyond. I had no idea about my reproductive system. I had a very poor understanding of that, which is really, really disturbing, because I went to college and I went to school, and it's just not taught, which is a major flaw in how we raise women, and we should teach them to be empowered about their bodies. I think I spoke about this in the egg freezing episode with Camilla, but we just aren't told. We just are not empowered and told. So I'm telling you this so that the only reason I'm telling you all these details is not so that you can directly copy what I do or what I did. It's just to inspire you to ask questions and go to the doctor and figure out what's right for you. That is literally the purpose of this. Also, I would be remiss to not mention that if you live in a restricted state, please be 7,000 times more careful. It's fucked up what is happening, and they want control of our bodies because that's how they control us. I could go on and on and on, but please, if you live in a restricted abortion state, please, 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 please use extra double protection, double wrap that shit, get on birth control, do whatever you can, because they are just trying, they're coming for us, and it's really scary. So this is my story. I'm in no way instructing. This is just for inspiration. Okay. With that said, so like many people, I got on birth control when I was like, oh gosh, when I was like in high school, probably, or like maybe, I don't really remember. And I know I probably said it somewhere else, and I don't want anyone to be like, well, you said, but I was young. Okay. I was young when I got on it, because it was just what was done. It was just what was done. Oh, I have one more, sorry, disclaimer to say. And this is like, doctors are doing the best they can. Okay. Also, don't be shitting on your doctors being like, well, my doctor made me do this and my doctor made me do that. Doctors are overworked and underpaid, and they're doing the best they can. So it's our job to also bring to the table information and know about our bodies so that we can ask the right questions. I'm not putting the onus on us, but I'm just saying, I don't like when people just like blanketly blame doctors, because that's fucked up, and we need doctors and nurses more than ever. So shout out to all of our medical professionals who are doing their best to instruct us with, you know, the information they have on hand. So it was just what was done. I mean, I know I feel like a lot of my millennial sisters will feel this way, but it was just like, oh, when you become 16 or 17, you just get on the pill. And that was like, that's what my mom did. That's what everybody did. That was just like what was done. So, and also I was like having bad acne, and the pill kind of cleaned it up. And I went on a lot of different pills. I went on, I think I tried the like really scary one, Yaz. And then I eventually I went to one called Loestrin or something, which I really liked. And I remember the talk about sharing information and like being a woman. I remember my friend Jackie in college was like, oh, you should go on this like blah, blah, low estrin one. And I was like, oh, okay. Like that seems nice. Like she was like, it's low dose and like, we love it. And it's a vibe. And I was like, cool, I'll switch to that one. And I was on that for like 10 years. And then when I was like 27, I, again, because my friend at the time was like, I got off the pill and I feel a lot better. And I was like, wait, you can get off the pill? Like it never fucking occurred to me that that was even an option, which is also scary. Like never, ever, ever fucking occurred to me. And she was like, yeah, like I just feel a lot less depressed. And like, I don't know, my body just feels better. Like a lot of my friends are doing it. And I was like, whoa, mind blown. And I was in living in New York at the time. And I went to all these doctor. Well, I went to this like kind of Eastern Western medicine doctor. And he was like, I think you should get off the pill because like your thyroid is really weird. Like, I think that you have Hashimoto's, but I don't know. You've got a lot of weird hormonal shit going on. He was like, I would like you to get off the pill. And I was like, perfect. I want to anyway. So I got off the pill and I don't know if it's just, placebo or what have you. I don't really know, but I immediately felt so much better. Like I just felt so clear in my head. I felt a lot less fatalistic. Keep in mind, I'm also a very sensitive person. And I mean that in multiple ways. Like my body's very sensitive and I'm very in tune with my body. Some people, they're just not. Like I can tell when something's wrong immediately. I can like things affect me. I'm very, very in tune with my body and I'm very sensitive in the mind and the body. So I just immediately felt like a dark cloud had been lifted. And I remember all of my friends at the time in New York were like, we were joking. We were like, we love being free range chickens, like no hormones anymore for us. Like, wow, we love it. And I didn't have a boyfriend at the time anyway. So I was like, I literally don't care. This is like perfect. I felt so good. Only issue was I didn't get my period. I didn't get my period for how many months? I think it was like 14 months. And obviously after 6 months, they said, oh, it's going to take a while to come back, whatever. But after like 6 months, I was like, I'm beginning to panic. And it's funny because I was thinking about this because I'm at the point in Summer House when Amanda is talking about how she didn't get her period after going off the pill or whatever. So I was like really panicked. And then when it was creeping up to a year, I was like, oh my God, this is really stressing me out. I was like going to all these different gynecologists and I had moved to LA and I was like trying to figure it out. And it was also like the beginning of the pandemic. And I was like, I don't know what the fuck's happening. I might be messing up my timeline slightly. So if you go back and listen to the other one, I'm not lying. I just don't remember. So fuck off. But it was like 13 or 14 months and I was fully panicked, but all the doctors were saying like, it's normal. Like, you know, it's, and to me, who is not a doctor, I was like, damn, that's the effect that the pill had on my body. Like, oh my God, like so stressed out. Since you'll ask, my weight didn't change and I did not get acne. Like really nothing happened apart from I didn't get my period. And, I felt better in the mind. I just felt like clear-headed. I felt like less depressed and kind of just like more like, I don't know. Around this time, I start to go to doctors and they're like, oh my God, like one of your ovaries is like, you have some cysts and like, I think you have polycystic ovary system, PCOS, whatever. I got really upset and I like left the doctor in tears and I was like, I can't do this anymore. I didn't want to go to her, went to a new doctor. Just like, you know, the drill, you're going to a million doctors. You don't understand anything. You're just really stressed out, blah, blah, blah. So finally I get my period again. And when I got it back, very quickly, it started to be like really, really bad. And I was like, Jesus, is this like periods not on the pill? Like really, really, really bad to the point where I was just like the entire week before my period, I would feel mentally ill, like more so than my normal state, like really, really like crying, just like feeling like the world was ending, feeling disgusting. I would gain like 10 pounds before every period, like just in water weight, just feeling so puffy. Again, as I said, I'm so sensitive. Like my body just felt like really tough. And then somewhere in there, I'm moving around a little bit, I get diagnosed with PCOS. I'm like, okay, perfect. Like, what does that mean? And it's basically just like I can't even explain it because I don't really understand. And again, I'm not a doctor. So if you want to go get diagnosed, like obviously go get diagnosed, but how they diagnose you is like, if you have some of all of the, I think it's like 3 out of the 6 symptoms or whatever. And I have like 6 out of the 6 or whatever. I was like, okay, perfect. I hate this for me. It makes it harder to lose weight. It makes you really puffy. It makes it can be harder to get pregnant. And I, at this point, I'm just like spiraling and like, I just felt really stressed out. Like, how can I manage this? But also kind of being lazy about it because as is actually shown on Summer House, Amanda's like, you know, you just kind of like put it off because you don't really want to deal with it. That's like how I feel a lot of women are about women's health issues. Cause you're just like, I don't understand this. It's stressing me out. I'm getting 10 different opinions and like, this is just really stressing me out. And that's definitely how I was. So all this time I'm just have no birth control. My periods are getting worse and worse. And, they're like telling me that the PCOS is like really bad and I'm feeling all these symptoms, but I don't want to go on birth control because that's like the, you know, that's kind of what a really good option is. And they're like, you should try to eat gluten-free and dairy-free, which is why I was trying to do it for so long, also because of Hashimoto's or whatever. But I'm not that good at doing gluten and dairy-free. And I just like, I just had the worst periods. I can't even explain to you guys how bad they were. And then finally in, I can't remember when it was, December of this year, I got a new gyno. Oh, and then I got my, like fertility tested. And it was like really bad. And this was like in last year. And that's kind of when we did the egg freezing thing and I got really upset and I like had made the decision. I'm not going to freeze my eggs. If you want to go back and listen to that episode, it's a really, really great episode because Camilla was in the process of freezing her eggs and it's two people who have just decided different things for their life. And there's like lots of different points of view and we really go deep. So if you're thinking about it, I highly recommend going listen to that episode. I think it's in November. We recorded it and put it out. So I decided not to freeze my eggs, but like my periods were so bad. I actually went to urgent care once because I thought that I might have appendicitis. I don't know what the fuck appendicitis feels like, but I felt something was so wrong. I felt so sick and I hurt so much that I was like, maybe there's something wrong with me. Like my stomach hurts so bad and I feel so fucking ill. Like I'm talking like I would have to lay down in the middle of the day and just like take Midol and like put all my curtains down and like go to sleep because that was the only thing I could do. Like it hurt so bad and let alone like the mental aspect of it, like the entire week. And I know so many of us suffer and I'm just like, I'm so, 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 so sorry because I feel your pain. Like the week before my period, I would feel literally mentally ill is the only way to describe it. Like just so upset and just unable to deal with basic things and just like really, really having a hard time. Okay. So finally I get a recommendation for a new doctor in my area from my friend who has similar issues. And I go in and I know every woman has experienced this. She walks in and she's like, okay. So she had her like, I guess a nurse had like done a scan or like a preliminary like questionnaire thing with me. And she comes in and she's like, okay, so you have really bad PCOS. And also I think you have endometriosis. And I just start fucking bawling. Like I was just bawling and bawling and bawling and bawling. And I was like, I feel completely like a prisoner in my body. I don't understand what's going on. I'm really, really just like upset. I'm really just at my wit's end right now. Like, please help me. And she's like, I totally understand. And she just starts explaining all the different symptoms of PCOS and all of the symptoms of endometriosis. And she's like, and I bet you have this, right? And she's like, and I bet you feel bad about yourself because you can't lose weight because you're trying so hard and nothing happens. And I bet you feel puffy all the time. And you know, you feel out of control and you don't understand because you eat healthy. And I bet you have painful sex. And I was like, wait, what? And she was like, yeah, like, do you have painful sex? And I was like, yeah, literally, I actually went to the doctor a month ago because I was having sex with my boyfriend and it was so painful. I was like crying and I had to stop and I thought something was wrong. And she was like, yeah, you have endometriosis. Like, look at your ovaries or womb or what the fuck ever. She like shows me on the scan and I was like, oh my God. And she's like, we're going to get a plan in place. Like we're going to stabilize everything. And she's like, but I want you to think about getting an IUD. And I'm like, no, like, I really don't want to, like, I really like being without hormones. And she's like, you just told me that you have a mental breakdown every single month. You told me that your symptoms are unmanageable, that you basically went to the hospital because your period was so bad. Like, you need to consider this. She's like, I know you're afraid to gain weight. Like, it's not going to make you gain weight. And like I know you're afraid of the hormones, but like, this is different than the pill, like explains it all to me, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay, yes, I'll think about it. Finally, I got to the point this year where I was like, she put me on metformin for my PCOS. She's like, this is going to help everything just like feel a little bit better. Finally, I was like, I can't take this anymore. Like I do like not taking any hormonal birth control, but like I was truly, truly like, I could not go on. Like I was like, this is affecting my business. It's affecting my life. Like I need to try something. And I always tell you guys, like the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. And I don't know why my dumbass, like, I think it's because like every month when my period was over, I would feel such a fucking sigh of relief that I didn't want to deal with it. Right. It's so funny because it's kind of like mental health too. It's like whenever you're not in a depressive period or you're not having anxiety, you're just so happy to be in your right mind that you don't want to deal with it. But that's why it's so important to go to therapy every week and like do that upkeep and maintenance and whatever. So I was like, okay, fine, let's try it. So I got the Kylena. That's why I asked you guys a while ago on Instagram, you know, does anyone have an IUD, blah, blah, blah. And I got a mixed bag of response, which was to be expected, but I was honestly just looking for confirmation bias, just looking for a few people to say that, you know, it had helped them. And I did get a lot of those. Like a lot of people were like, I have PCOS and like my IUD like made it a lot better. And like a lot of people were definitely warning me about the insertion process and what have you, but I was like, okay, I'm prepared for that. A lot of my close friends have IUDs and they really like them. So I was like, it's worth a shot. Like I can always take it out. Right. So I will not lie to you guys. The insertion process was truly, gnarly. I have a very high pain tolerance, like a very high pain tolerance. Like I had mono for like a month before I even knew anything was wrong. And then my mom was like, you look kind of gray. We should go to the doctor. And they were like, you have like raging mono. And I was like, oh, I thought I was just tired. Like I have a very, very high pain tolerance. The IUD insertion process, not to scare anyone because it's just temporary, but oh my God, like it was a lot. But you know, then it's over and then you just kind of have cramps for a week and some people don't, it doesn't hurt at all. Like one of my closest friends, I won't say it cause I don't want to like put her on blast, you know, but she was like, oh, I didn't feel anything. I just went home and like took an Advil. I was like, oh, that's interesting. I was like, hunched over in the car. Lauren was driving me home. I was like, oh my God. And then for the first like 3 weeks, I felt kind of crampy, but fine. And then after that, I will say that my periods so far have been better, knock on wood. And now I'm like, I guess 2 months. I don't know when I got it, but like a little bit of time in, I don't feel it anymore. I don't have cramps. I have not gained weight. I did get the back knee. Everyone talks about the back knee. It's so weird. But then I was like, that's so random. Like, I won't get that. That's just such a random side effect. I got it. But it's not that bad. And I, you know, it's like, whatever. And my doctor said that will kind of go away. And that's what all my friends who have it said. They were like, after 6 months, I was like, so happy. I don't feel the IUD. I, you know, everything stabilized. Back knee went away. So that's what I'm hoping for. But I just wanted to update you guys. I know that that's not a very medically detailed thing, but I'm going to be real with you guys. I don't know the intricacies of endo and PCOS. Again, I'm not a doctor. I know how they make me feel and I go into it in more detail with my doctor, but you know, I'm not a doctor. That's why I'm not explaining exactly what it is and whatever, whatever. My doctor said that at some point I might have to have surgery for the endometriosis, which really scares me. And I don't want to talk about it. And I don't want to think about it because it just really frightens me and I don't like it. But I am dedicating this episode to all women because in some way or another, all women have had an issue with their women's health, their reproductive system. It's just a whole thing. And it's a lot for us to manage and a lot for us to contend with. It's like a whole nother job when you feel like you have stuff going on and you don't know what's wrong. And you're just trying to like get your insurance to pay for it. And like trying to find a doctor that you trust and like trying to cross-reference like all these different tests. And it's just like, what the literal fuck? Like, I swear we, yeah. So anyway, that's what I have now. I'm an IUD girly. We will see how it goes. And so far, so good. I'm feeling very grateful. And it's just crazy because it's like now, like I used to be able to tell that my period was coming like a week and a half out. I was like, oh, I'm gaining the water weight. I feel gross. I feel like very sick in the head. I feel, you know, I can't sleep. I'm sweating, like all this stuff. And like, knock on wood, even just two periods in with the IUD, it's a lot better. So, I mean, shout out my doctor for encouraging me to try. And I hope that that inspired you to ask questions about your own system, not, you know, go do whatever I'm doing, but just to be aware of everything that's happening. And I hope that it empowers you. And I hope you're all gonna have a great day. Love you tons. Bye.
Human nature can get a little messy, but nature is powerful enough to save us from ourselves. Seventh Generation Laundry Detergent lifts away tough stains with a 97% bio-based formula. For when you think whipping up yellow curry chicken in white pants is a great idea, totally not speaking from experience. Let nature do its thing, so you can feel confident doing yours. That's the power of Seventh Generation. Find Seventh Generation Laundry Detergent in fresh lavender and other scents at 7thgeneration.com.